I'm here in New York City today where the Tony nominations are coming out next week. And one new show that's getting some buzz is Gloria Estefan's biographical musical, On Your Feet.
Get on your feet. Get up and make it happen.
Part of the title track and part of the cast album, which is being released tomorrow. The show was written by Alex De Nalaris and tells the story of the Cuban-born Grammy-winning singer's rise. We stopped by to see it last night, along with some excited fans.
I love the music of Emilio and Gloria Estefan, and finally got a chance to come tonight.
I love Gloria Estefan's music. I love her, and it was a great, great show.
I loved it, loved it, loved it. As you can see, I can't walk over, but I was up there like going like that.
Well, little did they know, the real Gloria Estefan was in the crowd last night, and we sat down with her before the show at the theater. How many times have you seen it at this point?
You know what? I was talking to someone today saying, I wish I would have counted, because it's been a ridiculous number. But the good news is it never gets old, and it's not because it's us, because I really don't sit there going, oh, my God, that's me on stage. It's not that way at all.
What do you mean it's not that way at all? It doesn't feel like it's you on stage?
No. When I look on the stage, I don't think of it as me. We look at it as a production that we tried to create a wonderful journey and a kind of a roller coaster ride for the audience. And we were really trying to get the best possible show together. So when I sit there, I look at the audience, I look at their reactions, I notice the nuances that the actors throw in every time, which changes up the show. They've never done two exact shows. That's the beauty of live theater. It changes. Its evolution of it has been incredible, and it's very exciting to watch.
One of the things that our listeners may be surprised to hear is that you weren't necessarily going to be a musician. You got a degree in psychology?
Yes, I studied psychology and communications majors and a French minor. I studied that because, you know, we're immigrants, and it was very important for my mom to make sure that we all had jobs. And even though I sing since I talk, and I would entertain my mom and my grandma, who was my hero, I didn't like being the center of attention. And when she would have me sing for her friends, I'd kind of stare at the floor and sing, but I would pour my heart and soul into that. But I always felt that I needed a career. When I saw Emilio and met him, and right out of high school, I joined the band for fun. That was the whole idea. It was never going to turn into a career. And then slowly and naturally, things grew. We fell in love. We were together. Our songs that we started writing, he wanted to go to the studio and record. We did that, and it got on the radio in Spanish, and then it took off in Latin America, and we were bilingual, and everything just grew so naturally. And then it wasn't until we had our son already that we made the decision, okay, we're going to go for this.
How did you get over not wanting to be the center of attention?
You know what? Doing it over and over and over. And little by little realizing that the only thing that people really wanted to see was how I felt about music and letting that come out.
Another part of your life story that is just incredible is how long the two of you have been together.
Yes, he was my first and only boyfriend. I tell him he got a great deal, especially in the 70s. Oh, my God, the sexual revolution. It was a crazy time. He changed my life, my destiny, my history, and it was all. But it's all been good.
Well, I was reading a review of the show that said that there wasn't enough tension between the two of you.
That's what Alex De Nalaris said. He told us, you guys are a nightmare to write for because there's no conflict. I go, let me introduce you to my mother who tortured Emilio for 12 years until that accident happened, and she realized that he really loved me for me and that he wasn't going to run and cut and run and leave me there. But she was afraid, you know, musician dude comes here, takes my daughter away, and is he the real deal? So we took it easy on her in the play, let me put it that way.
And when you say that accident happened, you're talking about a 1990 crash that you were involved in. You ended up spending about a year doing physical therapy.
Yes, yes. I was paralyzed in that accident. And my doctor thought it's nothing short of miraculous when he saw me back on that stage 20 days shy of a year of that accident. They literally had to go get him water, and he couldn't believe it. The last thing he thought he would see was me dancing like that. And I purposely did a lot of the choreography that I didn't even do that much of in my shows so that the audience could feel really relaxed and realize that, you know, that it was going to be okay. But the prognosis was not that. The prognosis was that I could possibly learn to walk again, but they doubted that I'd get back on stage and that I'd have another baby, which we ended up having our daughter Emily after that.
How are you doing now, 25, 26 years later?
Well, I'm still titanium reinforced. I've got 8-inch rods in my back, and I have to work out a lot to feel my best. When I slough off, I pay. You know, I get a lot of aches and pains. If somebody jumped in my body, they'd probably be in a lot of pain, but I ignore it pretty much. But, yeah, I still have to continue the rehab. It's a never-ending cycle, which is good. So it has some good, you know, side effects and keep fit and healthy. But I'm great. There's nothing I really can't do that I want to do.
Is it really true that it was very difficult to get DJs to play the song Conga?
It was. First of all, it was, they told us specifically, too Latin for the Americans and too American for the Latins. So when they would hear the track, they loved it. They thought it was really cool. But they were not going to take a chance on playing it. And we had the best focus group of all. When we wrote that song in Europe, we came back and we played gigs. And we were playing that song on all our gigs before we even recorded it. And people would literally flood to the dance floor as if they were hearing a hit. So we were completely sure that it would happen. So Jeff Shane, who's played represented in the play, literally called a friend of his in the Midwest and pulled in a favor and said, please just play it once for me. And the guy played it, and the phones went crazy. People were calling in from, like, insurance companies saying that everyone was doing the conga all around the floor of the office. And that's the kind of impact that conga would have when it was on the radio and getting played. But it took a year to get to the top 10.
Did you ever think of calling this show Conga instead of On Your Feet?
Well, the reason we didn't do that is because of Alex's approach. It's not just an empowering title, but it's literally how Emilio and I constantly through our lives have had to get back up on our feet. Our families had to leave our homeland and start over in a new country. Then we had to talk people into supporting our sound and what we wanted to do. And then literally after that accident, I had to learn how to walk again. So it was just for us the most fitting title. And we thought that that's what we want people to do that may feel a little down, that come to check out the show, or besides just entertaining them, maybe make them feel that if they gave up some dream, maybe they can still do it.
Speaking of your homeland, by the way, what do you think of the new relations with Cuba now?
You know what? I think that it's time to start chipping away at what's happening there. For me, it's a very difficult thing because my dad spent 2 years as a political prisoner in a Cuban jail, and I am probably persona non grata to that government. They call us the Miami Mafia, Emilio and I. Fidel Castro has out of his own mouth on shows when he was still doing the roundtable shows slammed Emilio and I because we've been very vocal against that government. But, you know, who wants the same government after 57 years? The people of Cuba deserve a change. While they're still there, things aren't getting better for the Cuban people. What is changing, though, is that the Cuban people are changing. Obama's visit is incredibly popular. He is incredibly popular. And I saw something happen there that never would have happened. After his visit, a lady that heard Raul Castro say that there were no political prisoners in Cuba, she was so incensed that she went out into the street and started yelling anti-government, you know, slogans and words. And immediately they came to arrest her. And for the first time, the other people, her neighbors, came out to defend her to the point where they couldn't take her away. And that never would have happened before. So people are getting a lot more vocal. And maybe little by little, that will eventually change the government as well.
So, Gloria Estefan, you've got your own Broadway show. You are only 58 years old, and you've won the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is something that most people, it happens to them much later. You probably have a lot more acts left to go.
You know what, actually, Barbara Streisand told me that day, because she got it that day too, and she said to me, you're very young to get this award. I go, maybe I'm younger than you think. But I like the word only in front of the 58. Thank you very much for that. You know, mainly I just try to do what we've done throughout our lives, that yes, there's a section of our lives that we focus very hard on the work, because you have to take advantage of the momentum and the moment that you have in music. But, you know, I try to spend a lot more time with my family, with my mother. Now we have a grandson, Sasha, and I will choose that over work a lot of the times. And I told Emilio when I was young, I'm going to work really hard so one day I don't have to work that hard and I can pick and choose what I want to do. And I am taking full advantage of that. He cannot let go. He's a beast for working. He thrives on that. I think he'd die if he had to retire. But I really do very carefully choose what I give my time to, because, you know, time gets shorter and shorter, and it's a beautiful privilege to be in that position.
Gloria Estefan, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And thanks, everybody, for listening through all these years. We love you.
And the Broadway show, a lot of fun, by the way. The cast album is out tomorrow. It's Here and Now.